and I didn't get a chance to write the outline I wanted, but...
And you get to talk into it?
Wow, it's just working?
Yes.
Oh.
We want to talk into it.
I didn't accidentally push any wrong buttons, did I?
You want to talk in right there.
Good. And you'll edit this for all of my stamp, right?
No, Bill will edit it.
Okay, well, somebody will edit it, so...
I hope so.
Hi, this is Ed Hare, W1RFI. I work at the ARRL Lab, and I came here to the QRP ARCI 4 Days in May Symposium to do a talk on man-made noise. Radio noise is a problem, I think, that impacts virtually every amateur. In fact, I ran a quick survey in there that says, how many of you believe noise levels are rising? And almost every hand went up. I told the rest of them to get on the air. So, you know, we had a pretty lively discussion. I ran through a number of things as I wanted to give them a little bit of background on what the extent of noise is, the number of problems that ARRL is hearing about, the kinds of reports we're getting, the various types of noise from power line to a number of new devices that are coming along that have amateurs somewhat concerned. You know, solar power, for example, is being put in pretty widespread in the United States. We are starting to get some reports of radio interference from nearby solar systems. We're also getting reports from some amateurs who say they put that into their houses and they're not getting any interference at all. So the technology itself can be done well. Probably the most important part of the presentation, though, is I discussed a lot of the work that's being done nationally and internationally on various industry standards committees in the electromagnetic compatibility area. ARRL is represented on a pretty large number of those committees formally as voting members. For example, I serve on the ANSI-accredited C63 EMC committee as chair of its subcommittee on immunity and on a number of working groups. I also work with the IEEE EMC Society. I'm on its board of directors and serve on its standards board and at a number of working groups there as well. And that kind of work is important because it brings information about not only amateur radio, but radio communications in general is being brought very effectively to the table as a lot of these industry standards are being developed. I think it's important. Maybe one of the most important aspects, though, is we're bringing the value of amateur radio with us. When I go to these committees, it's not just Ed Hare sitting there, it's not just ARRL sitting there, but we often draw on the resources of a large number of amateurs out there, talented, skilled professionals, that we can bring a lot of their knowledge and expertise into these processes as well. It's effective. These industry groups often elect me to positions of leadership, so we not only have seats at the table, we're given seats at the head of the table because we are bringing good work to their process. Now, I ended my presentation with a little bit of information about what amateurs can do when they have interference problems. Describing the question that's always asked is, I have this noise, what is it? Well, that's really the wrong question. The right question is, where is it? Because if I were to say, well, that sounds like a Model 123 power supply, and you wouldn't have any idea where that is. You now need to go find it in somebody's house, possibly even your own. Even worse, if I said it sounds like a Model 123 power supply, but it turns out some entirely different noise source had the same kind of characteristics, you'd be sent on a wild goose chase. So really, when you do have a noise problem, start with finding out what its location. I spent an entire hour, which we don't have to record this, but we spent an hour outlining, you know, not only the scope of the EMC problem, but the kind of things that amateurs can do. And if you go to ARRL's webpage, there is information about all sorts of interference and noise problems. Or if you want, you can contact ARRL directly for help with any interference problem should it crop up for you.
That's great.
So, there you go. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Oh, sure. Did you guys have any impact on broadband over power lines?
Yes. In fact, during my presentation, I did say the B word, BPL. Mm-hmm. And... yes, for the most part. In fact, what I said during my talk was that in one sense, we lost every battle, but we won the war. I mean, the FCC did not come off and give us the ideal regulations we wanted, but while that long process was dragging out, we had an opportunity to work with some groups within the industry and to work with electric utilities to help them understand what issues were involved with BPL, what kind of problems they might encounter. In fact, the utilities really weren't all that interested. They didn't want problems, and they knew that if they put in a system that was not in complete compliance with the rules, somehow or another, this crazy guy named Ed would show up making measurements. And so, the utility industry itself kind of backed away from that overhead power line type of broadband BPL or broadband over power line. There still is some BPL being used within buildings. So you might find networking computers within a building from one room to another. A lot of this is being done under an industry standard called HomePlug. Now, we worked effectively with some parts of this industry to get them to understand that they should not use the amateur bands in the design of their product. So HomePlug has left off all the ham bands. We don't have any reports of interference from that kind of thing. That got picked up internationally, so the international BPL standards and regulations do not use the amateur band. So did we win? Did we lose? It doesn't matter. For the most part, that overhead power line access BPL is essentially gone. I've heard that there are a couple of remnant tiny little systems for which the manufacturers of that product are long gone. The utilities don't know how to turn them off. So the BPL problem really ended up in a pretty good place. It took a lot of work. I think it was about 14 years of my life was spent working consistently, again, with industry, with the standards bodies, with the regulators, effectively and yet sometimes forcefully representing the fact that we do not want harmful interference from strong radio noise sources, but we'll work with them to try to help them design a system that can avoid those kinds of problems. Some of them did, so there is at least some BPL around, again, not using the amateur bands.
That's great.
Good.
So you protected us.
Well, I did. It wasn't just me. I mean, amateurs have come up to me. Oh, Ed, you've done such a great job. Thank you. Well, look, everybody appreciates having their work being recognized. But the real reason that ARRL had the resources to do this is because 165,000 members chipped in. That's really where it came from. Without that, I would have been a lone voice howling in the wilderness, not accomplishing anything at all.
Great.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.